Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Final hour for us. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10. Jeremy and Joe. Nate is in for Joe today. We're usually talking, you and I, Bills pregame.
Yep.
During the season. So we'll find out how many times, when, and where we're hanging out for the Bills games next year. Are we hanging out on Christmas? Thanksgiving? Black Friday? Monday nights. Although Monday nights mean we don't do a pregame. Same with Thursdays, because then it's just
that's
like
right.
Part it's of
just show up and hold up.
Yeah. Anyway, schedule stuff. The league has announced the schedule of some schedule announcements starting Monday. So Monday we could know a Bills game. Prime Video announces one. Maybe that's Black Friday. Maybe that's Christmas night, Thanksgiving night. We'll see. 803-0550. If you want to throw a call our way, you know, free anything, free for all. Free for all Friday morning. We've got open phone lines, and Bill Nakawana's got something for us. So we're going to go to Bill. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. This is not an endorsement that I think we should bring Gabe Davis back, but I do think, like, the Gabe Davis cultural erasure, especially from Nate this morning, saying, like, the one big game, I get all that. He had a lot of drops, kind of an easy target. But I think we got to remember, when we think of Gabe Davis, without him, we probably don't beat the Colts in the wild card game. And the Bills, as we know, it doesn't really even get off the ground right before halftime. Those two incredible sideline catches go down the field and score. The Bills kind of look dead in the water before that. I've just, had to call in. I think it's
sure
something to be remembered as we twist the knife on Aaron Gabe. So thanks, fellas.
Yeah, thank you. So Bills-Colts, that playoff game. What I remember about that game is a couple things. I mean, the Bills, they were down right before. So that drive, let's do that. Because Gabe did have, you know, decent numbers on that drive,
yeah,
and big catches. The Bills gave up 472 total yards to the Colts that day.
Yeah, they gave up some yards to Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
And that was the Phillip Rivers' last NFL game.
The Colts had 14 fourth quarter points in that game as well. But the Bills score right before the half with a Josh Allen touchdown run to take a 14-10 lead. They were trailing at home to the Colts 10-7. And then a couple of big plays from Allen. He runs one in. It's 14-10. The Bills go up on a 35-yard touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs, 24-10. And then they hold on to win 27-24. Gabe Davis erasure, he claims. I would agree with that. Davis, to me, was always good.
Yes.
And if we could go this far, the sins and the things that people are saying about Gabe now, they were true when he was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, would you say the Bills wide receivers lost them games during Gabe's tenure? Maybe you wouldn't say that. But we knew they probably should get somebody else in there for 2 years when he was here. And now they are better off in terms of from a depth standpoint. Like they have much better depth. I mentioned with Joe when this broke, if this were May 9th 2024, Gabe would be a reasonable idea for the Bills because they didn't have, well, Josh Palmer at that point or Elijah Moore. You know, they now have guys that are in the mix that weren't before. MVS and Mac Hollins were the two guys they were counting on the outside with Keon Coleman as well. So a year ago, this would have made more sense. Now, I don't think it would be a bad idea, but I do agree with people that say, like, you know, what do you really expect? And there's one thing about this as well. Would he play special teams? He might be willing to do anything.
Sure.
But he's probably much more likely to have an opportunity to play actually wide receiver for another NFL team.
I just think, and listen, I mean, I can appreciate the Bills' points because I think you can live in a world where you appreciate who he was in the early portion of his career here in Buffalo. There was a point where all of us were like, why isn't he playing more?
Right.
He's making big plays in big moments. He should play more his rookie season. And I think you can sit in a camp where you're like, he was great. They extracted as much possible value as you could get out of a fourth-round pick, a wide receiver. And like they're at both player and team are in a different place. If you don't draft, if you don't have Keon Coleman on your roster, I'm the first in line to say, go sign him for a vet minimum deal. You can't lose. He's already getting paid from Pittsburgh, a 1 year.
Jacksonville, yeah.
Or Jacksonville, right. Yeah. And so, like, I just think I'm over that. And I also think you have to live in a world where if you're trying, there are people out there that have given up on Keon Coleman. I'm not exactly one of them, but I'm definitely leaning more towards I don't think he's going to be good. And this is the year you got to know. You're not going to wait another year to find out if Keon Coleman can be good. You have to know right away. You have to know in the first 6 weeks of this year.
Leaning toward he's not going to be good.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it so binary, he's good or he's not.
Okay.
Can he just be Gabe? Can I get him to be Gabe? Here's my prediction for Coleman.
Wouldn't be great for me. Second round pick.
I mean,
not a fourth round pick.
Yeah, you got a second round pick, and he gives you 4 years of productive football with what? You have a double digit touchdown season in there, part of a good offense. Like if he has Gabe's 4 years, there's a great question. Would you sign up for that? I would sign up for that right now. Yes, because if we don't go, the caller there is wanting to talk about like Gabe erasure. Let's go back during it. Gabe was good enough that some people thought he didn't get enough credit.
Yeah.
And we argued about how good he was because he would have big moments. And to me, if Coleman gets to, he has big moments and we wonder, is there more in there? He shows signs of it. To me, that can be a success. Not every wide receiver is going to prove to be a, you know, bona fide, certified number one stud. And a second round pick who was what, the seventh receiver taken that year? You know, he gives you 4 years of what Gabe gave you. I think that's fine. I would probably take that. If you want to tell me there's more there, I wouldn't dispute that he could probably have a better 4 years than Gabe had. But I would not list Gabe's 4 years for Coleman. I wouldn't call that a failure at all. Even though it's a second-round pick and Gabe was a fourth, I still wouldn't call it a failure at all.
Would you, today, would you call it best-case scenario?
No, I think there's scenarios that it could be better than that.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it best-case scenario. I might sign up for it.
Yeah.
Because I think that is a fair return on what he is. And part of the point there is it's cheap.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. It's fine. Is he your, well, whatever. I think it could be fine.
I think, does this matter to you? It might not matter to you. I think the reason that I kind of would want or need him to be better is because they had a chance at Ladd McConkey and they took him instead. And I think Ladd McConkey is going to be a top 15 receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, so there's that's the thing. Like, there's going to be different skill sets and different jobs, and here's what I don't expect. I don't expect Coleman to elevate to a point where teams are game planning for him all the time.
I agree.
Like last year, what we saw was defensive coordinators. Some of them got burned by him, but they didn't really show a lot of concern for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is the way that it goes. Like, hey, we need you to man up that guy, and there's going to be games where the Bills win that battle. Will he win it enough to get a lot of, you know, double teams and a lot more attention? That I don't necessarily expect. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to win. And the way that Joe Brady uses his receivers, you know, we could say everybody eats and all that. the way he uses them, he's got them in clearly defined roles. And when Coleman was healthy last year, he was in a pretty good role. I mean,
yes,
you know, I'm not
post injury Coleman probably has blurred my line a little on pre injury.
There's also like a fundamental question here about this. Like, you just compared him to Ladd. Does he have to be better than Ladd McConkey to be a success?
I don't think so.
Does he have to be better than Xavier Worthy to be a success or more productive? Not necessarily, no. Does he have to be better than Brian Thomas Jr.? No.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
He's got to be a guy that plays for 4 years and is a part of the offense, and like that's really all I really need. I don't think developing into a star is going to happen, but I'll leave it open. I mean, he's super young, and he's got a lot of ability, so I'm not pessimistic or down on him. I'm just kind of I want to say I'm even keeled, if I could. Is that fair?
You're allowed to do that. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
You're a little more concerned.
I'm concerned. I think that's the right way of describing what I am.
The place where concern would come in is if there's another case of the Bills thinking a player at that position is more than he is.
Yeah.
They have been guilty of that a couple times.
Totally.
A couple times. Lee in Buffalo. Hey, Lee, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Yeah, I think. Nate, answer for yourself. I'm doing all right. Nate, you?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
I'm in.
I have two things here. Speaking on the Gabe Davis situation, I think the one you guys left out is when Gabe Davis had those big games in the playoff game against Kansas City, and he did have some decent games with the Bills, but let's not forget, Stephon Diggs on the other side was getting all the attention. That's why he was sort of successful here. And on the other note, I know you said it's an open segment or whatever. I just think Pegula's giving up on the Sabres because the Bills are a big moneymaker. I'm getting annoyed that they keep going after these ex-players that think they know a lot about hockey just because they played. They need to just go into a basket and try to grab a rabbit out or a decent egg and say, hey, you know, we need a decent coach, a decent general manager, and get this culture back the way it was, just like the Bills did. The Bills went out, they got football people, football minds. And they keep going after these has-beens, and it's like going back to your ex-girlfriend.
Well,
it's never going to be fixed.
Let me ask you this, Lee. You know, you, without necessarily disagreeing with the concept, isn't the entire NHL just going back to retreads? I mean, Joel Quenneville is going to be the Anaheim coach.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the whole league is the same 36 people are head coaches and the same 42 people are GMs.
Well, if Joel Quenneville's coaching, they might as well hire my 75-year-old father.
That's what Anaheim's doing. Anaheim's going to hire Joel Quenneville. And Mike Sullivan left the Penguins and went right to the Rangers.
Peter
Laviolette will coach another team in 2 days. And on we go. Like, you just get the same – it's the same group of people. So – I'm not saying that you're wrong to want some sort of radical change, but going to former players, that's what all these teams are. A former player that used to play for us is our GM. It happens all over the place.
Well, the thing that I try to look at is you take a look at when Pegula bought the Bills and the Sabres, it just seems like he's giving all his attention. Like, Bean just has a checkbook. He could do whatever he wants. And Adams don't have nothing. It's like he's afraid to spend money over there. Or Pegula just doesn't really care, because everybody knows that the NFL is a billion-dollar business, and they make more money off of TV revenue than they do people going to the games.
Right.
Thanks,
Lee. Go ahead. One more point?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for the phone call. One thing I was going to say in terms of, like, the checkbook and how Bean can do anything he wants, there is one question that could be asked about the Bills that it isn't often asked, because I'm kind of salary cap pilled on this idea.
Mm.
You know, as they say, like, what I mean by that is the salary cap and what the Bills do, the Bills could definitely spend more.
Yes, I agree.
Definitely. The Eagles Eagles are a team that does spend more, push more off into the future. How do they have all these guys on big contracts? The answer is that they spend more. The salary cap is this workable construct. And any idea that you have to be up against the cap, like, it's one thing. Listen, Brandon Bean and I don't agree on a lot of things. Well, you do agree on a lot of things, too. There's plenty of things we do agree on. One thing I don't agree on is the idea that the Bills have to make concessions because they have a top quarterback salary. I don't think they do at all. Allen's cap hit this year is 10th. They can move that as late as they want. They can move so much money into 2030. It's one thing the Eagles do that not a lot of other teams do. So the Bills are not alone in this department. And I don't know if that is Bean doesn't want to go all in again. He says he wants to be competitive year after year, and he will be, and he has been. Like, there's a good track record of that. But they could commit more, and they could do more void years. And they've got a void year on Joey Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, without getting too far into the weeds, the salary cap and dead cap comes to taking loans. I've actually got some numbers on this. Let me give some of this. Because
would you say comfortably that they are pressing to 80% of what they could potentially do to the roster?
Because the cap, because they're not spending in the way that the Eagles do. Again, it's important to point out, nobody is. The Bills do have a lot of money pushed off in the future because of Josh Allen. But here's some number on dead cap, okay? I forget where I found this, because it's in my notes as a note to bring up. All right. So in 2023, four of the five teams with the league's highest dead money in cap made the playoffs. Dead money as some sort of limiting factor. Like, you don't, it's not a thing you really should worry about. Cap jail for the Bills, Josh Allen is their constant. Four out of the top five in 2023 made the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys in 2014 had done it with league high dead cap. There had been a big gap, and the cap keeps going up so much that now dead cap teams are making it. Who was the other incredible dead cap team last year? Denver.
Yes.
They made the playoffs.
Russell Wilson.
Rookie quarterback, sure. But,
they
oh,
had
wow.
Russell Wilson's how could albatross
you, how
on
could
there.
You take this dead cap? They made the playoffs.
Yep.
They're fine. The Rams won the Super Bowl despite playing with the fourth highest dead money total in the league.
And
that
no
year.
Draft picks.
And no draft picks. The defending Super Bowl champion Eagles right now, they have the NFL's second best winning percentage since 2021, despite being among the NFL's top eight teams in dead money each of the last four seasons.
Yeah.
The dead cap, all that, I feel like we are kind of treated like as football fans to worry about this.
Yep.
And the reality is that teams, if they have owners that are going to pour money into it, don't have to worry about it as much. There's a quote in here from a GM. It's the same money, or an NFL executive. If I give somebody 10 and I decide to prorate it, it's the same 10 that's going to affect my cap the same way. But if I'm doing it where the value of the cap is not 100, but it's now 150, why wouldn't I take it into those times?
Yeah.
The cap goes up so reliably every single year. Real people like us, we don't borrow money and then, hey, when you're ready to pay this back, by the way, you're going to have 50% more to pay it back with.
Yes. You're going to make more money every year. So I'm, and it's predictable.
Right.
So I'm going to spend more on my credit card knowing that in 2 years, I'm going to make 50% more than I am right now.
There's not interest on your debt.
Yeah, right.
Rather, there's interest on your income you can count on almost up 20% every year. So you know, is it because Bean doesn't want to operate that way? Does Pegula not want to operate that way? What Jeffrey Luria of the Eagles does, like, they've put a ton of money into 2030's dead cap, and there's going to be massive dead cap hits coming for the Eagles in 2030. But guess what? The cap by then will go up like $180 million, and they're just not worried about it. They're playing that kind of game. So, you know, the Bills are up against the cap again, and you could point to a lot of different reasons about that, but there are ways that teams can just, like, the cap is real, but you can absolutely do more within it than some teams like to represent that you can. By the way, I teased a thing coming to this break, and I never got to it. Malachi Starks. Sorry. Raven safety Malachi Starks. I was going to get this in because I just remembered. Says he wants to pick off Josh Allen, which I think is a high compliment, right?
Yes.
Super high compliment.
It used to be Brady that yep. the young guys would come into the league and say.
And he says, I want the MVP. I want to get Josh Allen. Ravens rookie safety. Quote, I want to get Josh Allen. On which quarterback he's looking forward to picking off the most. I want to get Josh Allen. That is a compliment.
Yes, it is.
That's, I want the best.
Yeah.
I want to get the. And by the way, now he's the best. Who doesn't throw picks anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I want to get that guy.
That's even more so.
Old Josh Allen, if you said that, he'd be like, well, he gives
it away a lot.
That's like the Jalen Ramsey. Like, oh, yeah. He's going to give me the ball.
Right.
Anyway, Malachi Starks, I want to get Josh Allen. Scott in Rochester. Hey, Scott, what's up?
Hey, guys. I was curious and had a thought. I don't watch a lot of hockey nowadays. When the offside challenge became a thing, it was a huge turnoff, I'm not going to lie. But I do watch the highlights. And seeing McDavid dog walk Jack Eichel like he did last night, what kind of world do you think we'd live in if the Sabres actually won that lottery and McDavid becomes a Sabre? Do you think the trajectory of this franchise is altered, or do you think they're still kind of just the, you know, if I'm being honest, the joke franchise they are now, just spinning their wheels if they get McDavid? Because if you remember during that draft, everyone was like 1A, 1B, 1A, 1B. I don't think it's 1A, 1B at all. I think it's McDavid was clearly the one, and Eichel was clearly the two, and you're seeing it now more than ever. I was just curious what you thought, though.
Sure. Thanks, Scott. It's tough to know because McDavid is definitely a better player, but, I mean, the Sabres, the problem I always have with that question is it makes it seem like, well, if only Eichel were better, they would have been better. And the dude is incredible.
He is very good.
If you watched that game last night, he was amazing for them. Eichel was amazing in this game and has won the Stanley Cup and should have a Conn Smythe and was amazing for the Sabres. And he had Reinhardt as a running mate. So the Sabres had so many good pieces in place. Had they had McDavid, you know, maybe yes. Maybe they make the playoffs. We don't have a drought. Maybe we're sitting here living life like the Minnesota Wild, who have made the playoffs a bunch of times in the first round and gotten knocked out, and we're mad about that. So I don't think there's any questioning, like, McDavid is the better player. And, you know, 1A, 1B was often said, but it really what it was about was Eichel would have been the first pick in most drafts, just not that one. So, you know, Eichel's in the Dahlin draft. Who goes first? Might be Eichel. Yeah. Eichel's in the Owen Power draft. Who goes first? That is definitely Jack Eichel.
Definitely.
You know, on and on. So it's not – I don't think it's an unfair question. I think the answer is probably that they would have been better because McDavid's a better player. But he also might have grown disillusioned.
Yeah.
He also did want to come here. So, like, that might have helped. McDavid wanted to come here.
Yeah. Well, were they also getting Leon Draisaitl? So I don't
– Well, they had Reinhardt. If they have McDavid and Reinhardt, they're Team Canada.
Yeah,
and they're probably better, but I just feel like when you do that, you take a small step to bailing out the organization on something that they just shouldn't have blown to begin with.
So, agreed.
But I think it's a fair question. And McDavid, that play is just like, if you haven't seen it, holy cow! It's not one of his dangle makes a goalie look stupid. He sets up Draisaitl for the winner, but man, nuts! I don't know if he has a comparison in sports. There's not an NBA player that is so far above in movement the way that McDavid is in hockey.
No, there's not.
There's no.
It's not even close.
Is there an NFL player?
No.
I mean, Allen is close to be like, no one is like him.
Yeah.
But even Allen, I don't think. The next best guy to
Lamar?
Allen.
Lamar? in a different way?
Sure. McDavid, there's nobody there's just nobody.
There's no one you could say, well, you have Allen, but you also have Lamar. They're different in how they're unique. They do similar things, but they do it very differently. There's no comparison in the NHL of, well, he's kind of like McDavid. He just does it differently.
Yeah.
There's just not. There's not even close to a comparison.
803-0550. We're going to break in. On the other side, we'll get your calls on Keon Coleman. You got people fired up about Keon Coleman, Nate. I think you're a little too down, a little too much of a hater there.
Sorry.
All right. We'll get some more calls in on that. If you're on hold, stick with us. 803-0550 on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.